Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. This is part 13 of On the Witness Stand, Serious Questions for the Watchtower Cult. We're reading today about Christianity as viewed by the Jehovah Witnesses. The witness view of Christianity is that true Christianity involved the days of Jesus and the apostles, but then, little by little, essentially just died out until the Jehovah's Witnesses surfaced in the 19th century to restore it with the calling of Charles Taze Russell. Now, many in the movement disavow Russell today, but there's a lingering knowledge that the church seriously backslid and even disappeared until these last 150 years or so. What does the words say? Matthew 16, 13 to 16 says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I call a Jehovah Witness to the stand, and I ask him, has there always been a church since Jesus came? Well, actually, no. True Christianity died out after the apostles left, and that which is called the church is basically a pagan counterfeit. So, is there a church now? We prefer not to use that term so as not to confuse what God has done among us with that paganism and lukewarmness that's in the church. So, you're saying that you are the only people of God now, the true Christians. Yeah, that's correct. Jehovah has blessed us with insights and revelations from his divine scriptures that have reached millions around the world. There's no doubt he has blessed this organization. Well, then, what do you do with the verses that I quoted above? Well, what should I do? Well, Jesus said that the church that he would build would never succumb to death. Yet you say the church died and was resurrected in the 1800s by Russell and Rutherford. And of course, there's no answer to that question, so you may step down. Jesus did not say that the church would die and be raised at the end of time. He said it would live forever. And so it has lived and lives today. In some nations, it is old and lukewarm and seems to be dying, true. In others, it is warm and fresh and exploding. But the church lives on, doing the job that Jesus called it to do, spreading his good news to every member of creation, calling out a people who will populate his coming kingdom. Amen. Amen. If you don't say anything out there, I'll say it myself. I say amen on that one. How about the word chronology? What's that got to do with the Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, in the 1800s, the American church world was distracted by the Adventist movement. We talked about it. The heart of their message was a question. When will Jesus come? And they set about to answer that in ways that proved not fruitful at all. Biblical chronology played the key role in the founding of the Watchtower Society. The idea was to peruse carefully all the scriptures that mentioned length of lives or situations, any kind of numbers, and by tracking those numbers through the Bible, one could come up with the dates for the very end of time, the return of Christ, Armageddon, and so on. Well, the starting point would have to be 6,000 years. It was assumed that the millennial day of 1,000 years must be preceded by 6 days of 1,000 years each. Now, that's something that I've kind of held to through my life. I kind of believe that. But are we talking solar or lunar calendar? I don't know. And how do you count back to 6,000? Many have tried it, and they all came to different conclusions. When there was any agreement at all, men jumped at the revelation they were receiving. Oh, this is it. I got it. Such was the mentality of the men who were alive and teaching in the days of founder Charles Russell. But, and I ask you these four questions, what if the ancient calendar was not the same as ours, and you're counting back and it's not the same calendar? Lunar, solar, you know, there's different ways to tell time, even in the scientific world. Or what if there were missing generations in the genealogy and you couldn't go exactly all the way back? What if the proposed dates for Adam alone, which range from 3483 BC to 11,000 BC, what if that was all? Well, how could you tell which one of those places to go? The watchtower itself placed Adam anywhere from 4,129 BC to 4,026 BC. Where are you going to go? How are you going to get the exact date? I ask, was this study intended to be precise by the Lord? Is it possible to know these dates? Is it even necessary? One easily sees by reading the false prophecies included in this study, and we'll get to them, the trouble the church is led to when it follows this line of thinking. It's just not what he asked us to do. What's the word say? 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4. Instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, and not to pay attention to myths and what else? Endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation. Oh, what a description of Jehovah Witness history. And so I call you, sir, to the stand, Mr. Jehovah Witness, and I ask you, are you aware of the earliest years of the, quote, Bible student movement? Regarding Mr. Russell, I know that your people do not want to claim him as your founder any longer, but it is true that he passed on many of his findings to Mr. Rutherford, who was very much sold on them, at least at first. Which findings? Mr. Russell, though never an Adventist himself, was motivated by the Adventists of his day to set dates for various events spoken of in Scripture. Oh, yes, and as you say, we have repudiated, along with Judge Rutherford, who also repudiated, much of what Mr. Russell first found. Well, we honor him for having brought so many of these things to our attention, but he never claimed divine inspiration, nor do we claim it for him. Well, we'll let that go for now. Actually, witness leaders have acted as though they were inspired, and the people before them, though claiming not to be. But my point here is that Rutherford and other men since have continued on in the date-setting mold to the point where your movement is now locked into certain teachings which identify you as a group. Well, of course, we're speaking here especially of the teachings about, you may step down, about 1914 and 1935 and what events supposedly transpired then. The method by which they reached their conclusions was the very one that Paul condemns in this text, paying attention to endless genealogies. And they are endless. And they do lead to speculation, imagination, and worse. Those attentions eventually created a system that now binds millions of people the world over. Could we look at the cross next? Cross, C-R-O-S-S, that's right, cross. Well, why do you want to look at cross? Well, in their crusade against pagan ritual, and relic. And by the way, I've done this too. I've looked at the Roman Catholic system and found the evil that's in the Roman Catholic system. I know it's half and half. But what they're doing, they seem to ignore the Reformation altogether. That there were people who have already come out and have desired to go back to the pure Word of God and got that Word out into people's languages all over the world. It's a wonderful movement that's still going on. But they're ignoring that, and they're lumping all the Protestant groups in the Roman Catholic group as one big system that's just pagan. And in their crusade against pagan ritual, pagan relic, these witnesses, quote unquote, have dug into history and, quote, discovered that Jesus was not really crucified on a cross, as we know the word, but rather on a pole. Huh? That's what they said. Like I say, you can't make this up. Well, so I did my own bit of digging. I didn't want to just write it off as foolishness. They must have had a reason. I found that they may be right in some way, in part. It seems to be the norm for most of their points, by the way. They're right in part. Truth, but not the whole truth. Yes, it could have been a simple pull for many people's deaths in that time period. True. But for others, and this is equally true, it could have been a combination of an upright pole and a cross beam that did the job. You put an upright pole and a cross beam together, what do you have? What we call the cross. Now, this cross beam was then carried by the prisoner and attached later to the post. That same pole would be used over and over, since wood was not so plentiful in that day. In addition, a pole, or a stake, the Greek stauros is the word used in your New Testament. That's the word that's translated cross, and they have a point that it shouldn't necessarily be translated in that way. But it could weigh hundreds of pounds, this pole, so only the cross piece was able to be carried. You'll recall that Peter was told that he was going to one day stretch out his arms at the end of his own ministry. And then it says this was telling Peter how he was going to die. Now, stretching out your arms is not necessary if only a pole is going to be used, right? You put your arms out, what are they going to do with them? They're going to put them right back down and attach it to that pole. So stauros, stake, or post, instrument of capital punishment. That's the Greek word translated cross in most Bibles. The New World Translation gives a literal rendition of the word, but does a disservice to the Christian community by implying that Jesus was simply hung on a pole when there are several options from which to choose based on history. The New World Translation also wrongly says that Jesus was impaled on a stake rather than hung on a cross. Impaling is what you would do if you used the stake to stab the victim, which is ridiculous. No, victims were nailed or tied. And we know that nails, plural, were used to crucify Jesus, for Jesus mentions two nail prints when challenging Thomas to investigate them. So I ask, what does the word say? And I call Mr. Jehovah Witness to the stand again, and I read for you John 20:25. Unless I see, said Thomas, in his hands, plural, the imprint of the nails, plural. And I ask you, sir, on what was Jesus crucified? Was it not a cross? Oh, absolutely not. The cross is a creation of false religionists. It's become the symbol of false religion all over the world. Jesus was hung on a stake or a post, says the meaning of the word stauros in the Greek. Well, there's some truth in what you say. And a study of the subject shows that the Romans crucified people both ways. Sometimes just a pole, other times the victim was asked to carry a cross piece to the site, at which time it would be connected to the main pole. A tree so heavy that no victim would be able to get it up that hill. These poles could be used multiple times, and only the top portion would be for a specific victim. Jesus did carry something up that hill. Since it wasn't likely that he bore a 300-pound pole, he probably carried a cross piece. I notice you use the word impale in your text also. Wouldn't nail be a better choice? No, impale has the idea of piercing with a sharp object. True, sir, but the implication is that the pole itself did the piercing as with a sword. And that's not really what you meant to imply, I think. Is nail a possible substitute? Well, you will see in our literature that when we picture Jesus' death, we show him nailed. And how many nails are placed in his hands in your picture? Well, one, of course, since it was a pole and not a cross. One could put both of the hands together and nail one nail to fasten them. Yes, one could if it was a pole. But if it were a cross, more than one nail would be needed. Well, obviously, yes. And that's why I've quoted here the very words of Thomas, who wanted to see the nails in his hands. Plural. Well, you know it's foolish to spend any more time on such a thing as this. Once more, the witnesses have made an assumption, placed their own assumption in the Holy Scriptures. It's a bad habit. It won't produce good things in those who practice it. Jesus was placed on a cross, as all of the artwork, even though I understand the artwork is uninspired, but all of it has shown from the beginning. It's true that pagans have used the cross, just as false witnesses have used the Bible, but the cross and the Bible remain as true symbols of the Christian faith. So, you know what the next topic is? We're going to the D's now, and the first D, deity of Christ. And it will take us, and I'm just paging through here, it will take us 3 or 4 or 5 sessions just to get through this one section, because this is the heart of it. The deity of Christ is the heart of this whole teaching about who the witnesses are. You denied Jesus, his deity, and you have denied Christianity, its life. Jesus is God. Yeah, that's where the next installment will take us, to the deity of Christ. Meanwhile, there's other things here on the site in between your studies on this. You can go and study the Quran. You can study Muhammad versus Jesus. I have a comparison of these two. It's not much of a comparison when you think about it, but you've got a whole Bible course through the Bible, writing a second one as I speak here today. A wide range of Christian issues, and then you've got North Korea all over the site. 300 or 400 audios on North Korea and the situation there, including a photo album of hundreds of pictures. Please stick around the site. Go looking for stuff. You'll find some of the ancient, not ancient, but old preachers of the past, great men of God, and my voice, but their words, and I think you're just going to love what you find. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Check in from time to time to see what's going on here. We will be talking to you real soon, I hope. God bless.